Yes, I do, Sister White.
We will not fear.
The kingdom is alive. The kingdom's on the move with the poor and the meek and the hungry and the lonely.
I'll never forget it.
Welcome to Adventist Voices, Spectrum's podcast. I'm Alexander Carpenter, and I'm joined by the celebrated director, Gianfranco Rossi. Thanks for talking with all of us today.
Thank you. Good morning to you all. As the Pope says when he meets the astronaut, he says, good morning you all.
Good.
And the voice arrives a few seconds later there because of the distance. So I say, good morning you all.
Where are you talking to us from right now?
I'm in New York.
Okay, great. Well, I really enjoyed your documentary.
Friday we have the opening of the film. So it's an important moment to be here and to sustain the screening that is going to start on Friday. And I think great. It's important to be able to see this film in a big screen.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a journey that I think... would be helped by the darkness of theater. And, we forgot a little bit the use, the idea of being smaller than what we watch, with all these cell phone, computer and things, we're always bigger than what we are watching. And I was a few days ago in the cinema and I was like, this is so beautiful to be in front of such a huge screen. It's like a temple. And it's not so much of the being sharing that experience with other people, but for me, it's really the idea of it was so beautiful to be smaller than what we see, than what we watch. You know, it's like a fantastic experience that we're fortunately we are forgetting more and more and more.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that when I was at the Sundance Film Festival. I was up there and had some early access to screenings, and so I decided I would sit. Often in the front row, number one, I could stretch out my legs. Number two, there weren't a lot of people around to distract, but I really enjoyed sort of just looking up at the screen and getting completely lost in every, lost in the image. Well, let's jump into a quick chat about your great film here. Very meditative. I really enjoy the pace of it. You give us a lot of space to think as we're watching. And if you wouldn't mind just asking the age-old question, where did you get the idea to focus on the Pope and use this footage and come up with this idea of traveling with him?
Well, unfortunately, this I said many times, but it's a question that it's inevitable. How did I start this film? Like most of my work, it starts always with an encounter. And this time the encounter was with the Pope. It was an encounter I had with the Pope 10 years ago after I finished my film Fire at Sea in Lampedusa. The Pope saw that movie and he invited us, the people that worked on this movie. We had this very strong emotional encounter in the Vatican. And 10 years later, after I finished Notturno, my film in Middle East, I gave an interview with the daily newspaper of the Vatican, Osservatore Romano, and the Pope was leaving for Middle East. That's the territory where I spent 3 years there. And when they came back, I had the opportunity to watch the footage that they shot in this trip. And there was a... They were asking me if I would do a collaboration, with all my work that I did there. They wanted me to put some input in this footage that they came with, which was very strong. But unfortunately, this footage was shot for live television mostly. So the timing and the things, the structure, it was something for me very difficult to be able to grab and transform it into a film. So I kind of, when I was almost refusing to do that, I came up with an idea. I said, but how many trips the Pope made in these 10 years, 9 years I was at the time? And they told me 34 trips. That was the number at the time, now that 37, 38. And then I imagined immediately to have this Pope, the idea of this Pope being outside the wall of the Vatican. the pop traveling. When we travel, we always change. You know, there's a change of our identity, a change of our daily life. We become something, someone else. And the idea of having this pope going from one place to another place, from one head of state to another state, from the, I knew about this press conference he was doing on the plane, which is very surreal, you know, to moving around with this pope mobile, almost a robotic image of him from the back. I always wanted to keep him from the back in this automobile, you know, like almost moving right and left and waving to people. And also, it's the first time that the pope is traveling with a pope mobile without a bulletproof cage. Just this to show how much close he needs to be. In the, you know, sometimes he used, when he was in good health, he used to stop in a place, go down from the car, embracing people, and then go up again and keep going on his journey. So this physicality, you know, that is surrounding this pope. And the biggest question it was for me was always, how is it possible to make a film about this figure? This is such important religious figure without being theological, and without being ideological. This was the first challenge that I had. And another challenge was like to make a film for me for the first time, not being involved directly as a director. I always have to be in the back of the camera for me to understand what I'm filming. You know, almost like a biologist who stays in the microscope. And he discovers a world that he doesn't see with his eyes. I have to be in the back of the camera to understand the structure of the story that I want to tell. So for the first time, I also had to do a step back in order to be a visitor, almost like an observer to this footage that was not shot by me. So it was this very big challenge, almost like an act of humbleness that I had to make and respect the work of someone else and try to make this world mine, you know, to enter in this world with another eye, but then yet to put my point of view on all that. And at the first editing, the structure of the film was very impressionistic, was almost with no commentary, no chronological order, no explanation. It was a very open film and very almost poetic, I would say, you know, like free association. We didn't know where you were, the places, the year, the country. The film was starting in Iraq, it was ending in Lampedusa. And then the war came, and I went for the first time on a trip with him in Malta. And in Malta, the Pope disclosure opened up and made his very strong speech against all war.
Yeah.
Use very strong words. Then there's a prayer there that he say, "Fermaci, stop us, God, stop us, you know, don't allow our will to happen." You know, it was extremely strong. But so when I added that part of the film, which is still there, the last 10 minutes of the film after Mosul, after Iraq, what I've added before didn't make any more sense. You know, it was completely history devoured all the film. And I was like, I said, what do I do now? And then we started thinking with my editor, and I said, well, let's try to put everything in order, like chronological order. And once we did all that, the film got its own weight. And it became almost I understood there the film and with whom I was dealing, you know, because in this, I understand there was a prophetic order almost, you know, what the Pope started in Lampedusa when he said the globalization of indifference, you know, we use very strong word always in every country it goes. It's almost like how you say here in America, bumper stickers.
Yeah.
He has this kind of
some slogans.
Yeah.
Sound bites.
Yeah, sound bites, you know, like, but the very, they force you to think, you know, they force you to identify with those elements.
So
everything somehow it became like a structure and goes very naturally from Lampedusa to the war now, like almost like it was a premeditation, you know, like it was inevitable, all this. And in a way, when I was joking before, I said, good morning, you all. When the Pope meets the people of the Soyuz, the voice arrives very late there, you know. There's a moment of silence and embarrassment when, and then the voice arrives there. So for me, this is a bit the metaphor of this Pope. He says something, we don't listen, and then eventually, when it's too late, we do capture what he's saying, you know. And
yeah, there
is a moment in the film which is very strong on that, you know, when he talks, when he meets Kirill in Cuba. The journalist asks, well, so what did you talk? Say, we talk about our church and about the war. And before the war happened, I didn't know which war he was mentioning. And this was 2014. He was talking about Donbass. Now we are in 2023. And the wars that he say, if we don't take care of this war right now, this is a war that's going to devour all of us. Mm-hmm. And that was extremely prophetic. And that's why I say, he says something and we listen late, when it's too late. Maybe now it's too late also to listen to the Pope about this war. You know, one of the big dreams of the Pope is the need, his dream. You know, the film starts with dream. Yeah. Don't lose the capacity of dreaming. You know, dream a war that you still don't know, but it's going to come to you. And this biggest dream of the Pope is peace, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the question is like, inspiring to peace, is this a dream? Maybe yes, you know, but all the big revolution came out for dreams, you know, the end of segregation, the union, the civil war, the things, they all came out from dreams. So if we lose the capability of dream, we lose the capability of winning our battles, you know?
Well, I like the metaphors you're using there, this idea of dream, but also the prophetic element of the Pope, which you could say is a vision in a way, looking around and seeing and what the state of the world is and, you know, warning us that if we continue down this path, things...
The theme is definitely portrait, more than a Pope, I think it's a portrait of a man. And at the end is a portrait of a lonely man. You know, we feel this incredible weight of history in his shoulder. He became very ancient at the end of the film.
Yeah.
The whimsical, almost like, you know, like in pain. And definitely there is a strong solitude there. But I also wanted the film to be a portrait, not only of a man and of a Pope, but also wanted the film to trace a map of human condition, you know, to show the shaky worlds that we are living, where the Pope somehow is the protagonist of this globalized world, you know, he's a player of this globalized world. And that's what I wanted the film to be.
Let's talk about the physicality. I found it really interesting because people show up to see the Pope. They try to hear him. The moments where you have this anticipation, where you shoot out into the crowd and see people, you know, struggling on the side of a building to get some eye contact with this important figure for them is really compelling footage. There's a kind of human struggle that is there. I think that's really, it pairs over and over again with these really compressed moments where the Pope is in a crowd. People are wanting to contact him physically. And it's really interesting because there's really no time or moment for him to speak. All he can do is touch a face, kiss a face, touch an arm. Those moments where you really you kind of zoom in, you have these medium or close shots are really compelling, connected to the long shots where people just hope to see him once in their life and then they're pressed up against. Talk about what you are trying to do there.
Well, you always use a very important word that you say, eye contact. And I witnessed this when I was in the last trip that are not part of the film, because this is a film that is an open field. I didn't want to close this film with a festival or with a distribution. I'm going to keep following this trip because I would like to arrive to the moment of peace, you know, to embrace with the Pope a moment where he could do a trip in Kiev and in Moscow and somehow be able to be a participant of this moment that is expecting for more than a year. Which is peace, and I want the film to witness that. So I left the film open, although the film, as I say, has been distributed all over the world, in China, in Japan, in the States, South America, Europe, and it's been to all festivals. Still is an ongoing piece, you know? And sorry, I will say this because...
Eye contact.
I went to this trip in Africa with him in Congo and South Sudan. There were like, they say official, they say there were 1.5 million people. I don't know if there were 1.5 million people, but for sure there were 1 million people there. I saw this huge, immense, vast area, crowded with people. And when he arrived, when he started talking to this immense ocean of people in front of him, when he looks at the... You have the... I went also far away on that, you know, with the mountain, with the... You have the perception that he's looking at each of the person that is there individually. You know, this is the capacity that he has to address also in like a huge crowd, almost like he's an individual meeting one by one. You know, there is this very strong element that I felt when I was there. Mm.
Yeah,
and I think this is you can perceive throughout the movie this ability that he has, you know, this need of being part of the people, touching them, one word to someone, whispering a word. There's a moment in Brazil when he visited the oncological hospital for kids. There's this beautiful girl, she's maybe 13, 14, full of emotion, that she goes close to him, and his eyes, they flare, almost crying there. And he whispers something to her in the ear. And you can see this woman change completely, this girl changing her face completely and smiling to him, you know? So sometimes a word, sometimes a moment. He has always this ability. When before coming here, I had an encounter with him, invited us because of the film into the Vatican. And we were seven people there. We spent 20 minutes in his office. It was very strong meeting. We talk about everything, but very fast. He's also, he has always a good sense of humor. And before leaving, he looked at us and say, risk, always risk. Be courageous and risk. And then he came closer to me and he said, there are too many conservative people around us. You know, from a pope to say there are too many conservative people in the US. It's an incredible message, you know. It's like at the beginning of the movie, we see this world that is upside down, and the film starts with the pope saying, dream, don't lose the ability of dreaming. You know, it's almost like a Jungian concept, and coming from this pope, you know, to dream, you know, to don't lose it. And this somehow is a red fil rouge that goes throughout the movie. You know, when we meet, also when he's in the Senate here, he say this country was built by four dreamers. And when he said the word dreamers, he's illuminating in his eyes. And he was referring to Lincoln, Martin Luther King, Thomas Merton, and Dorothy Day. And so he said, four of the builder of this country, they were four dreamers. Mm. So, you know, it's a theme for me that it's obliged almost, it's almost a reflection to this world that is a shaky world, that is an upside down world. And it's also a tribute to someone that wants to change things, you know. And this Pope, he wants to change things in the small to a big level. Also within the church, he tried to say change a lot of things. His Pope, and that's why maybe he's not so beloved by the conservative, you know. There are people that, you know, they don't support those changes. And you know, it's not a chance that the film starts with a shot of one of my films, of Woka Mare, where it says, you know, there is a voice of a Coast Guard asking to this. I mean, there's a boat that is
haunting, sinking, haunting that, scene
that is sinking, and these people are asking for help and asking for being saved in the water. And the Coast Guard say, "What's your position? What's your position?" Say, "We don't know. We are like here. We are sinking. Please help. Please help. We are sinking. What's your position? What's your position?" So for me, this world, what's your position, is also a reflection on that we can have, we cannot forget what's our position towards all the theme that the Pope is proposing to this. He's the only head of state that is able to talk to the world transversally, believers and not believers, Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist. He talks to everybody in the same way, and he addresses so many themes that our politics is forgetting us. You know, that's why I think this is a film that is important to watch, because it's important also of our world. And it's a reflection of the condition of this world. And we have to know, you know, constantly what's our position towards certain theme, towards certain, what's my position. If each one individually, singly, can make a small change by knowing where we want to belong, you know, things would be probably maybe different.
And don't forget
to dream.
Yeah, I love that idea of geolocation, where we're positioned. Obviously, you're talking about our ideological position. But here's my last question for you. You're thinking about his position around the world and things happening in the world. Do you see that power that he's, it's a kind of soft power. Obviously, he's not the head of, you know, obviously Vatican, but beyond that, he doesn't have the kind of Pope power that, you know, existed 1,000 years ago. How do you describe his power?
Well, for me, the most touching things, I say, I'm not a Catholic and I'm not a believer, and I'm a secular person. But the most touching things about this Pope, and I think is the most also what make him so popular and so much beloved by so transversally by many. I was in Middle East with the screening of the film, and I could see how much they love this Pope, you know, in Iran, in Iraq, in Syria, in Lebanon, in North Africa. This is a beloved Pope, because what is the essence of the Pope? I think the most important thing, he doesn't do proselytism. He never does. He believes that proselytism is one of the biggest sin, you know. So, and you can see that constantly on him. He's a Pope that when he travels, there's never proselytism there. And also when he takes important issue, you know, like he's the first Pope that opened up to gay union, you know, and of course, but he didn't bless anything. But it's a big step that the church is doing, you know, recognizing a union. And the first thing he always say about all the big themes that are for us, for secular people, are very important, that the church would open up, and then somehow are mostly a conflictual element for me towards the church, you know, in all this year. But then with this Pope, I can open up in someone that is trying to change things. He always say, who am I to judge, you know? There is always this word that he used, who am I to judge?
Yeah.
So there's a very strong San Francescan, you know, Franciscan approach to life and to things. You know, San Francesco was known as being never judgmental towards things, you know? So this Pope is carrying this Franciscan idea of not judging. Who am I to judge? You know, who am I to say yes is wrong or is right?
Well, that's a great way to end. Thank you so much for talking with me today and for putting such a thoughtful piece of art into our world.
Thank you so much.
Yes, I knew, Sister White.
We will not fear.
The kingdom is alive. On the move, with the poor and the meek and the hungry and the lonely.
I'll never forget it.